Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time on this Thursday to set the stage for week number 3 of the 2024 NFL regular season that kicks off tonight in MetLife. The New York Jets have had a very difficult first 3 weeks based on logistics and scheduling, but the spread not overly difficult tonight as they host the New England Patriots. We'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football. Everything that comes with a new week in the National Football League set the stage for a huge Saturday in college football as well. All of that DRS over these next 3 hours live right here on TEL.
Looking forward to tonight's game. I wouldn't call it an exciting game, Ben, but I would call it an intriguing game because there are a couple different ways to break this down. And usually, Ben, when we see a number, it's like, hey, 38.5, how can we push that over the total? It's one of those few games where I'm like, you know what? I think this might be a dead under game, and we'll preview that as it goes. Major League Baseball down the stretch. The WNBA almost at the end of the regular season, so a lot to get caught up with. But I love Thursday shows for one reason. It feels like the weekend officially kicks off because we have NFL action, so there's that extra energy and extra charge that we're ready to get after.
Could not agree more, DRS. Thursday is the start of a football weekend. We've got a college football game tonight in Boone, North Carolina. Enjoy the aerials and the setting. And, of course, the home stretch of this Major League Baseball season. We're pretty much at three sets remaining for all teams around MLB. About 10 games left for everybody. Some teams already in the single digits remaining out of 162. All the postseason chases and races that you need to know live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. And to Donnie's point, six games tonight in the W. It's the ending day of the regular season around the WNBA. All right, DRS, as a Thursday comes around, it's important to recap everything we heard and saw from a Wednesday, because that's when the guys are out on the practice field for a full week in the National Football League. Who was on the practice field yesterday in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Jordan Love. Bouncing around, looking pretty good, met with the media after practice, saying in his own words, this is not necessarily from the medical staff, but in his own words, he's, quote, hopeful to play on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. DRS, at the end of the Sao Paulo opener, we thought Jordan Love might miss the entirety of the season. He might just miss 1 week.
Yeah, he's missing this week, too. And if I'm commissioner of all sports, like I want to be in the NFL, correct, for him to come out and say, I think I'm going to play when the Packers have always told you he's not playing this weekend, I love the charade. And don't think once that, you know, the Tennessee Titans out here are in the street like, oh, no, now we got to prepare for Jordan Love. No, you don't. It's going to be Malik Willis. You watch the Early Line for information. Don't buy into what Green Bay is selling. Jordan Love will not be out there. Don't worry about it. Don't handicap. Don't go back and watch film. It will be Malik Willis there.
Love it, Commissioner. Right side. Now he adds on to his very lengthy resume as the National Football League Injury Commissioner here on the early line. The line is still 2.5 in favor of the Titans at home in Nashville on Sunday. If it is Malik Willis making his second start for Green Bay, of course, it's an early reunion against the organization that drafted him in the third round back in 2022. Number one overall, that was Bryce Young in 2023. He is on the bench for Sunday as the Panthers take on the Las Vegas Raiders. And there has been some discussion, DRS, some speculation among the media folk that Bryce Young is going to be traded from Carolina. The Panthers reiterating at this moment they have no interest in shipping away the number one overall pick.
This reminds me of the New York Giants telling you what a great commodity Daniel Jones was as a free agent when we all laughed at this. This is basically covering yourself. We're not considering trading. Why? There is no market to trade this quarterback. If you cut him, yes, somebody will pick him up and pay him, what, $500,000 for the remaining parts of the season. Nobody is taking a number one overall pick and paying millions of dollars for a player right now that we don't think can play here. So shout out to the Panthers trying to create a market by saying he's not tradable, which means pick up your phone and make us an offer.
Quickly, DRS, if Justin Fields, who was traded to the Steelers this past offseason for a seventh-round pick that conditionally could be better, what is Bryce Young even potentially going for?
He's going for the other team will get a third-round pick just to take Bryce Young at this point. How about that? Yeah.
It's fair enough. As we talk about injuries around the National Football League, the Rams are not going to place Cooper Kupp, as we maybe thought, on injured reserve. But he has been diagnosed with a high ankle sprain that he suffered on Sunday in Arizona. There is a hope he could return within the month, so no IR for Kupp. It's just everybody else on the roster pretty much on injured reserve.
It's a tough scene for the Rams. It really is. And it's a shame because your season is basically over at 0-2 and you can't even rally the troops for game number 3 because you're so injured. You don't even have any troops left to rally at this point. It's a tough look here for the Rams, but it happens. Sometimes you just get injured and it's one of those seasons.
It is one of those seasons, much like 2022 for LA after the Rams won a Super Bowl back in 2021. Major League Baseball, we've got 10 games remaining around the regular season for most of the 30 clubs, some only 9 games left, which means we're in magic number season, which the Brewers had yesterday. A walk-off in the rubber match against the Philadelphia Phillies. Jake Bowers delivers the game-winning RBI single. But outside of that, DRS, Milwaukee claims the National League Central. In a year they were not expected to contend for a divisional crown. It was the Cardinals. It was former Milwaukee manager Craig Counsell making the big splash in the offseason. Now the skipper at Wrigley, Pat Murphy, and Milwaukee prevail. They clinch a divisional title in the National League Central. The first team to claim a divisional crown among the 6 divisions in MLB.
It's a quality organization. They know how to operate in that central division where sometimes it's not about those large payrolls. Just make sure you have some of those avid players coming up from AA and AAA, and congratulations to them. Their manager was like, you know what? I'm getting out of town for that big paycheck in a better city. And Milwaukee says, yeah, we're still kings of this division. Good season so far for the Brewers, and on to the playoffs they go.
Absolutely so. The Brew Crew trying to battle with the Dodgers and maybe even the Phils over this final week and a half for what would be the opening round bye past the wild card round. More baseball news from yesterday. The National League wild card race is getting good. The Padres blank the Astros in San Diego. The D-backs avoid a sweep at Coors Field in Colorado. The Mets keep winning baseball games, and Atlanta rallies in the 7th inning for a win. So all 4 wild card teams pick up a victory yesterday. The Padres in the top spot. The Mets and the D-backs, DRS, tied for the 2nd and 3rd NL wildcard positions. Atlanta, despite the victory, still 2 games behind.
Fantastic stuff. The Braves still trying to hang on here, but we do have some intrigue over the final 2 weeks of the season, and we'll see if the Mets, Diamondbacks, and Braves can switch spots here and play a little musical chairs down the stretch.
We'll talk AL wildcard chase in just a little bit as well. Those Detroit Tigers remain red hot. The Yankees in extra innings yesterday out in Seattle pick up a 2-1 victory in 10, a victory good enough to clinch a postseason berth. They did not make it to the playoffs a season ago, but they are now back in the postseason for the 7th time in the last 8 years.
Better version of the Yankees this year than last year, apparently, at this point, playing their best baseball right now. Big-time win out there in Seattle. That ballpark, we know, doesn't give up a lot of runs. They didn't need a lot of runs last night and picked up that victory. It was good news for the Yankees.
This- This will be their 11th postseason trip since their last World Series back in 2009, the last time the Yanks even made it to the Fall Classic. Other news around Major League Baseball. Craig Kimbrel, whew, it's not been a great second half for Baltimore, and that really goes to the back end of the bullpen for the O's as well. DFA'd yesterday. He was cut, released, sayonara from the O's yesterday.
Won't see this anymore. See that on the screen right there? Yeah, look, that arm is just hanging by a thread
now.
Yeah,
there it is.
It's
good,
a wrap
good.
Right now. It's a wrap. Yep, thanks, Craig.
Yeah, that might be his arm, and that is certainly his pitching stance, but it's not good for Craig Kimbrel. 15 seasons at the age of 36 years old in MLB, a nine-time All-Star, was good in the first half, 23 saves and 39 appearances and ERA sub 3. Awful in the second half with a 10.59 ERA. NFL news and notes from the first day of practice around the National Football League up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Each and every week around the National Football League, if you're playing on Sunday in a full week, Wednesday is your first day back out on the practice field. It's often the first time throughout a week that we hear from players that we see them on the actual practice gridiron, which leads to us having a ton of news and notes to recap and try to read between the tea leaves to get ready for a new week around the National Football League, which... let's start with the biggest tea leaf of all. That's in Green Bay. Jordan Love, injured late in the Sao Paulo Brazilian opener to the 2024 NFL season for Green Bay. We thought at the time, DRS, as he was hobbled, helped off the field in Sao Paulo, that maybe it could be the worst after being paid this offseason, that maybe his year was done after only one game. Sprained MCL, not nearly as bad as some people imagined or feared. He was not going to be placed on the IR, but still set to miss a few weeks. Yesterday, Love back out on the practice field in Wisconsin. Yesterday, Jordan meeting with reporters and saying, quote, he's hopeful he can start on Sunday in Tennessee against the Titans. If you watched our first segment, you know Commissioner of the National Football League Injury Report, Donnie Wrightside, says absolutely no chance. DRS, how you feeling about it after a commercial break?
Yeah, no, there's no chance that he plays. Let's understand the concept here of injuring your knee as a franchise quarterback and making sure you're healthy enough to protect yourself in the pocket. And also, Ben, let's understand, they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles opening night. Malik Willis came in and played a steady hand in week number two and beat a decent Indianapolis Colts team, which you're 1-1. You're not 0-2, and Malik Willis didn't go 6-for-24 with 4 interceptions. You said, we're just going to lose games until you get back out there. Can you stand in the pocket like a statue? Will protect you. Can you just get out there and help us be a competent football team? You don't need that. So why would you rush your franchise quarterback back? And I understand that we don't have doctors in the room that have completely diagnosed this and are letting us know. It's apparent that he is a quick healer. But when you're dealing with that type of injury, you can't risk it. Let's just say he's not 100% and plays this weekend against a very good Tennessee Titans defense and takes a low hit, and now he's down for the season, injures that knee more, and it's an ACL. Wait till he's 100%. You won last week. You can win this week again without him. Give him an extra week to recover. I understand he wants to play. It's what professional athletes want to do. But understandably, he's not playing this Sunday. Absolutely not for me.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance, DRS, that he actually starts or plays in Nashville. There will be the narrative and the storyline, of course, of Malik Willis making his second consecutive start for the Pack back in Tennessee. The Titans drafted him in the third round of the 2022 NFL draft. Of course, he made his first three career starts prior to last week with the Titans, did not throw a touchdown pass in any appearance with Tennessee to 3 interceptions, which made his start last week for the Packers all that much more impressive. 12 of 14 for 122 yards, efficient, clean with the football, no turnovers, and his first NFL career touchdown. Josh Jacobs ran it 32 times. The Packers and Malik Willis, who added 41 yards, ran it for 261 yards. Green Bay, who averaged DRS nearly 8 yards per pop, albeit on the slippery turf of Sao Paulo against Philadelphia, is the best rushing team in the National Football League. They do not need Jordan Love as of this moment. Tennessee's got a pretty good defense and a pretty good front seven. But the New York Jets did have some success on the ground against them on Sunday in Nashville. All to say, with Green Bay catching 2.5 on the road, I still think I look to the Packers here, although you would expect some regression as things go in the second game for Malik Willis.
Yes, and I agree. I actually agree with your sentiments here, but I do think that the Tennessee Titans probably the better team for me just because they're home. It's a field goal. And yes, regression from Malik Willis. But you sort of hit the nail on the head. You can use that same game plan you had last week against the Indianapolis Colts and push it into this game and have a chance to win. That's all you can ask for at this point. We're not expecting Malik Willis to be perfect, not turn the football over and have like a 90% completion rate. He is going to have mild regression in this game, I do believe. But also at the same time, you're a good football team. You can run the rock here. You can keep it close. This game has 17 to 14 written all over it. You don't need Jordan Love back just yet until he's 100% healthy. And it seems like he is on the mend, just not for this week.
The long term for Green Bay in a division right now in the NFC North that's a little bit up in the air. The Lions 1-1, the Packers 1-1, the Bears 1-1, the Vikings 2-0. Justin Herbert got injured late in the game for the Chargers in a dominant performance, of course, on the road in Carolina. An ankle injury that has listed him as day-to-day, according to his head coach, Jim Harbaugh, who had a lot of things to say yesterday, comparing himself to Moses, leaning on his staff, so on and so forth. This quote, though, in terms of Justin Herbert's status for Sunday, quote, crystal ball, expect him to get better every day. I was in a meeting with him. Said he was feeling much better and good today. Will Justin Herbert play on Sunday for the Bolts?
Yeah, last year's Justin Herbert, we probably would need him to play. Like, maybe he's a little bit injured. He's got to throw for 300 yards. This version of Justin Herbert in that offense, can you give us 150 yards passing based upon 19 to 21 attempts at this point? He can play this weekend. Yeah. It's not a high ankle sprain. Certainly, they're not leaning on him as much. And they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. This game also, Ben, has 17-14 written all over. A black and blue game nonetheless. I think he'll be out there, though. I do.
Right now, the Chargers, a slight underdog heading out to the Steel City. Yeah. Minus 124 Pittsburgh, plus 102 on the other side for the Chargers. A matchup of two undefeated 2-0 teams. Total DRS, if it is 17-14, would stay under. It's the lowest total for the week three slate, rather, at 35.5. 37.5 is that number for Packers-Titans out in Nashville on Sunday afternoon. It does not matter. If Justin Herbert plays, Jim Harbaugh could suit up in a Chargers uniform once again. They are going to run the football. Justin Herbert on Sunday against Carolina threw the football only 20 times. DRS in week number one, he threw it less than 30 times. It is the first time in his National Football League career. This is year five for Herbert. He has had back-to-back games with less than 30 pass attempts. They are going to run the ball with Greg Roman as the OC in the offensive philosophy from the mind of Jim Harbaugh.
Exactly. He brought over that mind. And it's so funny, Ben. We talk about last year, the Chargers sort of a soft franchise. Now, all of a sudden, able to swing and throw haymakers on a day-to-day basis weekly on Sunday. I love to see it here. And these are two teams that don't want to throw the football, want to play good defense and play smash-mouth football. Meeting up in Pittsburgh, both of these teams 2-0. That's a good game to watch. It really is.
Yeah, certainly so. We have more news around the National Football League, more injury news in Los Angeles, but with the other team, the Rams, and what is Bryce Young's future in Carolina? We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie Wrightside, I'm not sure if you can see it in your rundown off to the right, but we do want to give our flowers to our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friezo, who made sure that he wanted to note this headline that you're going to see for the Cooper Cup injury is an elite headline. So, Joe, well done. Way to be quite witty. Cup half full? At least that means that there is some optimism and positive injury report. Cooper Kupp is going to miss a few weeks for the Rams with a diagnosed high ankle sprain that he suffered on Sunday against Arizona. However, there is a hope in Los Angeles. He returns within a month, so no need for injured reserve. You just have two other starters, Jonah Jackson and Josh Johnson III, being placed on IR. Puka Nacua already on IR, and we have not seen a fully healthy Rams offense line started a game through the first 2 weeks this year. So good for Cooper Kupp. not great for the Rams in total.
No, it's not. And this lets you know exactly what the Rams are thinking about their season. Now, if there was a chance, let's just say the Rams were 2-0 and Cooper Kupp got hurt, you would IR him and say, okay, we'll be able to you know, steady the waters here. We'll be able to make it through. We'll be 500 when you get back here. You'll be fully healthy. We'll make a run towards the playoffs. They're telling you now, well, if we IR you, you're out for a minimum amount of weeks here. And we might not even have a win by the time you get back. If we can save 1 week or 2 weeks here with your ankle injury and burn a spot here on our roster just waiting for you, it might be worth it, because otherwise we don't think we're even going to be competitive and or be in playoff chances by week 9 or week 10 at this point. So I understand what the Rams are doing, but this ship is sinking and taking water fast right now. And Cooper Kupp coming back in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or 6 weeks, I really don't think it makes a difference.
A rough start for the Rams, who have been the underdog in their first two games, both on the road. They lose to Detroit in overtime. They get hammered by the Cardinals last week out in the desert. Home opener, week 3 inside SoFi. They're still an underdog, a large underdog, getting 7 points against the San Francisco 49ers. It is a rough start to the year for the Rams, reminiscent of 2022 when injuries were the story in L.A. following a Lombardi Trophy the year prior. DRS, now we go to Carolina. The Panthers have said they are not considering trading Bryce Young despite placing him on the bench at this moment. The 2023 number one overall pick, with so much investment to get that first overall selection and all that was traded away for Bryce Young. Do you believe in Carolina when they tell us they are not interested in trading Bryce Young, or, as we discussed earlier, is it a market ploy to try to garner some interest, making him seem like he's untouchable?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's one thing to try to say from a Carolina perspective, we're not trading him, because what you're trying to do is send the message to Bryce Young. Like, look, we understand you stink right now. You know you stink. But let's just say you're not going anywhere. Give you a little bit of confidence that you don't have to worry every 30 minutes that your agent is going to call that you're going to be the third string quarterback in Cincinnati and have to change everything. You're trying to give him hope for the future and say, kid, it hasn't worked out yet. Let's sit you down. Don't worry. You'll take a deep breath. You'll get back in a couple weeks, and we think you can be the player that we drafted number one overall. And also keep in mind, no other team out there is going to trade for a first round draft pick in his second season. This isn't like 1977. It's like, hey, it's a 3-year deal for $5 total million. That's an expensive contract. And now in the NFL with first round draft picks, it's fully guaranteed. So no team is going to take that on for a look-see. If they do cut him, Carolina, yes, you would take him on because he'd clear waivers. And then you go to the next franchise on a veteran or just say a rookie, whatever minimum salary that he would have. So it doesn't make any sense for them to move on, because it's right. If you keep him on your roster for the next 3 years as a backup, it's going to cost you the same, Ben, as cutting him this year. And there is a chance that he can resurrect his career and learn from being on the bench and be a decent quarterback. Absolutely. We saw that talent at Alabama. So it doesn't make any decision here easier for Carolina, except the money will be the same if you cut him or move on from him. You might as well just keep him and hope that he can resurrect his career.
84 yards last week in the home debut in Charlotte this season against the Chargers. The 11th time in Young's last 12 games, he threw for less than 200. There is no doubt, DRS, his confidence is in the toilet, in the gutter right now. So maybe just sitting behind Andy Dalton for a few weeks brings his spirits up. We were not together on Tuesday when this news hit the pipeline, so I have not had the chance to ask you about Bryce Young's future in Carolina. Will he be there next year? Will he start another game for the Panthers? Might that next start come this season? Where do you fall?
Yeah, here's those arguments. If Carolina finishes with the number one overall pick, you are taking another quarterback, because you don't win in this league without a franchise quarterback. And if you draft a franchise quarterback again, why not just have him go 1-1 with Bryce Young into the future of the next 1 to 2 years and find out who is the better quarterback? I don't buy into let's trade that number one overall pick. We already have our guy. No, you don't. Quarterback number one overall next year.
They right now have the lowest win total in the NFL. MLB recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The home stretch of this Major League Baseball season. If you've heard me say that for the last 2 months following the All-Star break, I do apologize, but it truly is that. 10 games remaining for pretty much every club around Major League Baseball. A few clubs like the Padres, have only single digits left. 9 games remaining in this 2024 MLB regular season. And San Diego has been great in whatever home stretch you categorize it at, but certainly since the All-Star break and once again here in the month of September. They take the rubber match yesterday at home against the Astros in a great pitching matchup. Framber Valdez got the start for the Stros. On the other side for the Fathers, it was Dylan Cease. He works into the ninth inning, was shutout baseball once again. San Diego, 2 home runs from Manny Machado, 3 home runs in total. Machado, Tatis, Donovan Solano, back-to-back-to-back in the 8th inning, propel San Diego to the series victory in the midweek against the Houston Astros.
It's one of those games where you handicapped it correctly and still lost money. Like, I thought the Houston Astros were the right play yesterday because of Framber Valdez on the mound. And if you would have told me before the game, hey, Donnie, it's going to be 7 innings pitch, 1 earned run for Framber Valdez, which means he got you to the 8th inning, that should be a win for the Houston Astros. The only problem, Dylan Cease was even better. 8 1/3 innings pitch, as you said, no earned runs. That's phenomenal. And also at Petco, one of those true pitchers' ballparks, you had 2 guys absolutely filthy out there dealing in a playoff atmosphere that the Padres were just able to close out this game better than the Houston Astros were. 2 great pitchers, great ball game, great pitching on the mound. The Padres look to advance here into the playoffs by trying to secure that wild card spot. Yep. That's a nice win for them, even though I thought Valdez would be the better pitcher on the mound, and technically he wasn't.
Both pitchers have 14 wins overall this year. For Valdez, just his 2nd loss, just the Astros' 2nd loss in Valdez's last 15 starts since the end of June. Dylan Cease racking them up this year. 25 decisions with yesterday's win. He is 14-11 with a 3.42 ERA. 8 1/3 yesterday against Houston. 2 hits, no earned runs given up. Again, Valdez only allowed a single earned run. It was a Manny Machado solo home run, his 1st of 2 last night in the bottom of the 6th. So now we go to the Major League Baseball National League wild card race standing. San Diego in the top spot with a 2.5 game lead. We'll tell you how everything else is shaking out right here, right now. Let's go to one of the hottest teams in the bigs since the end of May, since the end of June, since the end of July, since the end of August. It's the New York Mets. A sweep, as New York should, in what on paper is its final easy series of the season against the Washington Nationals last night. Jose Quintana has been sensational. More than 23 innings of shutout baseball as of late, a career best streak. And you saw it there. The Mets played 10 last night to blank the Nats on the other side. 10 zip. 9 of those runs coming in the 4th, capped off with a 3-run home run from Brandon Nimmo. So the New York Mets DRS now 12-4 in the month of September. The Amazons have won 5 of their last 7. New York has really been the best team in baseball since the end of May.
And I'll tell you, DJ Herz, over the past 60 days, one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball, ERA-wise, had a solid xFIP number. So you figured this game possibly could stay under the total. And it should have if one team scored 0 runs. But the New York Mets were absolutely on it. And they blasted DJ Herz. 3 1/3 innings pitched, 7 earned runs, 3 walks there. Raises his ERA all the way up now to 4.30. The Mets just continue to stay hot at the right time. And quite frankly, we're sitting here September 19th. The playoffs are going to start in early October. If the Mets continue at this pace, and they're going to get a hold of Taijuan Walker tonight of the Philadelphia Phillies, that has had his struggles over the past couple months in Major League Baseball since coming back from the IL. Those bats stay hot. You never know. It's the perfect scenario. It's getting hot at the right time and staying hot through the first couple rounds of the playoffs. And right now, the Mets look like they're on that trajectory.
DRS, the first 2-plus months of this MLB regular season, the Mets were bad. They were 9 games below 500, 24-33 at the end of May. Since that point, June, July, August, now pretty much deep into September, 60-35. The New York Mets have been very, very good, sustained success, but playing their best baseball when it matters the most. 22 2/3 innings of scoreless work out of Jose Quintana. I gave him a slightly extra bump. So Atlanta needs to keep winning just to keep pace with the Mets and maybe even the Diamondbacks at this point. The Braves do yesterday, never easy for Atlanta after after they blew game one on Tuesday against Cincinnati. They had a 5-1 lead. The Reds came back. Yesterday, game was tied at one. Entering the seventh, the Braves do win it 7-1 against Cincinnati. Gio Urshela, 3 RBIs yesterday to spark that Atlanta offense. The Braves, though, DRS, just an even 500 in September, 8-8. They snapped a 3-game skid with the victory yesterday at the Great American Ballpark. They were a road favorite. They got it done. They just haven't been as hot as the other teams that they're trying to chase in the National League wildcard.
Yeah, you can only beat the guys on your schedule here, and hopefully when you do scoreboard watch that it turns out in your favor. Now, yesterday, it wasn't really the starting pitchers that were the issue. Schwellenbach was very good. Now 7-7 on the season, 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run. You flip it over to Jacob Junis. He did exactly the same thing for the Reds, 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run. But the problem was the bullpen was terrible for the Cincinnati Reds, and the bullpen was very good for the Atlanta Braves. But that's usually a product of the environment too, right, Ben? You take a look at heading down the stretch. The Braves are going to leverage every situation to try to get victories. The Cincinnati Reds like, we'll just see who's available in the bullpen tonight. It's not really that big of a deal. And you found that out last night. A 1-1 game quickly turns into a 7-1 game, and the Braves try to hang around in that wild card race.
DRS, guys like Spencer Schwellenbach for this Atlanta team that has been ravaged by injuries both in their offensive lineup and, of course, in their starting staff this year, had to step up for Atlanta to even still be in contention for a wild card spot in the final week and a half. In his first 6 starts toward the end of June, it was a 1-4 record for Schwellenbach with a 5.68 ERA. Now 7-7 with a 3.61 ERA for a guy that was called up to the bigs this year, the 2021 Big Ten Baseball Player of the Year from Lincoln, Nebraska. Schwellenbach has been a lot better for Atlanta as of late. So the Braves haven't been great in September. Neither have the Diamondbacks, the hottest team along with San Diego following the All-Star break. Up until August 25th, DRS, from that All-Star break in Arlington, the D-backs were 26-8. Yesterday, as a road favorite at Mile High, they were trying to avoid a sweep in a 3-game set against the Rockies. They do that with a 9-4 victory over Colorado. Hefty money line favorite yesterday on the road, -184. Total of 10.5 does go over. Arizona still has lost 4 of its last 6 games. They're just 9-12 from that date of August 25th that I mentioned. But a good win yesterday to still hold on to one of those NL wildcard spots.
Yeah, Rodriguez hasn't been very good since coming over to the Arizona Diamondbacks, 3-3 this season, and ERA now lowered after that performance of 6 1/3 innings pitched and 2 earned runs to right around 5 now. Just lets you know how much he's been getting stung around this season, but also making quick work of Austin Gomber was that lineup for the Arizona Diamondbacks. 2 innings pitched, 6 runs, 5 of those earned, an easy victory right away, and also this game does go over the total. Diamondbacks hanging around as well. Every single one of these games matters so much that sometimes it's just the schedule that you have. You should be putting away the Rockies. You should be putting away the Washington Nationals. And those are expected outcomes here. 9-4, we should have expected that.
We'll show you the National League standings where they are at this moment. We thought San Diego and Arizona were going to run away with the top 2 wild card spots. Not the case. The D-backs and the Mets are tied for the 2nd and 3rd National League wild card position. San Diego 2.5 games ahead of both of those teams. And there you have the division leaders that are well out in front, including the first to clinch a divisional crown this year. It's the Milwaukee Brewers, and doing so in runaway fashion. And yesterday, in walk-off fashion against Philadelphia in the rubber match of this midweek set, Jake Bowers delivers the game-winning RBI. Rhys Hoskins was the guy, the former Phil, to tie it up to send it to the ninth. At 1-1 all, Milwaukee wins the National League Central in a year, DRS. They entered with a 7-1 price. That was the 4th best number out of the 5 teams in the division.
Yeah, Peralta, past 60 days, high xFIP numbers. He was tremendous last night, but also from a Phillies perspective, Arenado bounced around his last start. He was sensational last night, just not good enough for the victory, but maybe the silver line. Just getting old for him.
We'll look at the standings in both the National League and the AL up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So let's show you those National League standings for where the postseason stands around the NL. The Phillies, despite the loss yesterday in Milwaukee, still the league's best record. The Dodgers rallied to split the first two games of their series in Miami. Shohei Ohtani, 49th stolen base of the year. He's got 48 home runs. It was basically everybody else going yard yesterday. So the Dodgers trail the Phillies by just a full game for that top spot. Milwaukee, two games behind the Dodgers. That's the order of the divisional favorites, but the Brewers, the only team with a clinched divisional crown at this moment. Donnie, on this morning, the day after Milwaukee wins the National League Central, they're 11 games in front of both St. Louis and Chicago. The Cubbies lost yesterday to the Oakland Athletics. It already clinched the divisional crown for Milwaukee, and then they walked it off against the Phils. But I do want to take a moment here because, of course, our producer extraordinaire who tracks these numbers all year long, Joe Friso, telling us the Brewers were 7-1, plus 700, to win the National League Central entering this year. It was the fourth best number in a five-team division, despite Milwaukee being a perennial playoff team the last half decade with Craig Counsell. Counsell leaves for the friendly confines of Chicago to take over the managerial spot of the Cubs. Pat Murphy thrust in there for the Brew Crew. They run away with the National League Central Division. What a year it was in Milwaukee. They hope to continue it with some postseason success.
Yes, and also there's some key points here that we're going to make. The Brewers had a very good season, and maybe a lot of people didn't expect it based on the odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But now you see it play out. They clinched yesterday, Ben. That's September 18th. I've talked about this, you know, many, many times.
Yep.
What is their setup now down the stretch? Because they're in a mode where, yes, they could catch the Phillies. Yes, they could catch the Dodgers. But we could be looking at 7 to 10 days out from the playoffs, them not really having a realistic look at either one of those spots moving up. And then they say, okay, the pressure is off. Let's have some fun. And just the human element creeps in, Ben. You head to the ballpark. You're still going to get your same work in. But that mindset isn't, oh, my goodness, we have to win tonight to try to stay a game ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the division to make the playoffs. When that mindset changes, then you hit the playoffs versus a team like the New York Mets, let's just say, have been grinding for the past month and a half and have stayed in playoff mode or completely engaged. Sometimes you get caught right away in the playoffs. I want to see if that plays out that way. I'm not saying it's going to, because the Brewers are a quality team, and you shouldn't just disrespect them because they haven't played meaningful baseball in 7 to 10 days. But we've seen that path over the past couple of years here, and that's the only thing I worry about now with the Brewers. Would you have liked to clinch a little bit later as a team? No, you want to clinch as soon as possible. Of course, that's the goal, but let's just see how they play. We're saying we're going to set up our rotations. Let's not burn our bullpen here. And then you just expect to flip that switch once again when you get to the playoffs.
It's a really good point, DRS. It has been rest versus rust with the expanded MLB postseason the last few years. Two wild card teams making it to the World Series a season ago. It's been a huge component of the debate around this expanded postseason. Now, for Milwaukee, again, they're two games behind LA, still in the hunt for the opening round bye. If they even need it, they might get their rest. But not just that, DRS, in playing a hot team that has grinded it out over the final month once they reach the postseason, but potentially determining who that team could be in the 3-6 matchup in the Major League Baseball postseason to begin in the wild card round, because seven of their final 10 games come against Arizona. It's this four-game set that starts today in Milwaukee against the D-backs in their final series of the year against the New York Mets for three games, again, at home in Wisconsin. And that's when you saw those National League standings, how important the wild card chase is right now. The Padres up by 2.5 games over both the Mets and the D-backs, who are tied there for the second and third wild card spots. The Braves back by 2 full games as of this moment. All of those teams, 10 games remaining in this season. Now to the American League, DRS, with just 10 games remaining, the Detroit Tigers are only a half game behind the third and final American League wild card spot. Why? You turn to your ace, Tarik Skubal, delivers yesterday on the road in Kansas City. The Tigers sweep the Royals this week. 4-2 the victory yesterday. Detroit, a road money line favorite. The Tigers have won 4 straight, 9 of their last 11. They have won 18 of their last 25 since August 22nd. DRS, on August 22nd, Detroit was 4 games below 500. They are now 7 games above 500. The Tigers trying to make a last stand to get into the postseason.
Yes, and also yesterday, I like the under in this game, and I like the Tigers. Here's the interesting point here. The public beat around the sharps yesterday, and I was on the public side, which was the Tigers. This game, Ben, was hovering between minus 150s and minus 160s, depending on where you were shopping yesterday, and this crashed down around minus 130 for the Detroit Tigers. I said, I can't figure this out. Scooble's one of the best pitchers out there, but Kansas City obviously needing that game and had a decent pitcher on the mound, but I didn't take the bait. I just stayed with Detroit, and Scooble once again was good. Only five innings pitched yesterday at 95 pitches, but gave you what you needed. Five innings pitched, only one earned run, kept your team in it, and the Detroit Tigers are red hot. And here's the problems that we started to talk about a while ago with Kansas City. It wasn't as if we doubted Kansas City. They are talented enough to make the playoffs, but it's not really the MO of that organization where it's like, 10 out of the last 13 years, we made the playoffs here. We're used to this grind down the stretch. How will they handle it down the stretch? They haven't handled it well. And now when a team is breathing right down your throat, a half game out of making the wild card, and you're on a losing streak, you better turn it around quickly here, and maybe that MO isn't there for Kansas City to do that. We'll find out, though.
KC's still comfortable as of this moment, but they've lost four in a row, and they're just 7-9 in September. They've got a game and a half lead for the second spot in the AL wild card over Minnesota. The Twins, a golden opportunity yesterday, DRS, in Cleveland, in the third game of a four-game set. Minnesota entering the seventh, a 2-1 lead. Josh Naylor, though, homers in the seventh for Cleveland, a tie it at two. We go to extras. Okay, Carlos Correa, two RBI single in the 10th. The Twins take a 4-2 lead into the home half of that frame. The Guardians respond, three runs in the bottom of the 10th. Brian Arocchio, the RBI game winner for Cleveland. They walk it off against the Twins. They were a home favorite, but Minnesota, Donnie, now just 7-10 in September. They've lost eight of their last 12. The Twins clinging to a half-game lead over Detroit for the last wild card spot.
Absolutely devastating loss. When you get the extra innings and you get the first run right in the top of the 10th inning, you can anticipate that the team in the bottom of the inning is supposed to also get that run. But when you get two runs, that puts you in the driver's seat. You're supposed to win that game, or at least worst case scenario, give up two runs and push it to the 11th inning. They gave up three in the bottom of the 10th. That hurts.
Oh, it's bad. Quickly, we'll show you the AL or standings in a minute, and then we'll get to Thursday night football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quickly, let's show you the American League playoff picture so you have it before we transition to Thursday night football inside MetLife Stadium between the Jets and the Patriots. DRS, the top spot in the American League at this moment. It's the New York Yankees. The Guardians have only played 151 games, so 11 remaining. The fourth and final of their midweek set against the Twins today. The Yanks have a game and a half lead. No odds out, though, for the American League's number one overall seed. The Yankees yesterday did clinch a playoff berth back into the postseason after missing out on October a year ago. That means seven times in the last eight MLB campaigns, New York into the playoffs. This will be their 11th playoff appearance since their last World Series in 2009. Of course, that is always the expectation in the Bronx.
Yes, it is. And also, I do think the Yankees, and I've said this all summer long, still the best team in the American League, even when it was a little bit choppy about a month, month and a half ago when they lost that lead to the Baltimore Orioles. Now, I do believe they should be able to win the pennant and get to the World Series. But also, if we are looking at that wild card standings here, the two top teams, the Orioles and the Royals, losing streaks of three and four games respectively here. Not playing great baseball down the stretch, which allows the teams like the Minnesota Twins, they're breathing a little bit of relief here because not being run away from the top two teams already in. But now the Detroit Tigers closing that gap, winning four straight games. I don't think anybody's going to overtake the Orioles. You got a four-game lead. That should be almost impossible to blow down the stretch unless you lose every single ball game. With the Royals, Twins, and Tigers, that is a de facto coin flip. And usually you might say, like, maybe it's not if the Royals had won four in a row to finally get in and take that game and a half lead in the wild card race. But that's not the case. They're playing bad baseball right now. So when you look at the four-game losses, turns into five, six, and seven, the pressure just builds in that locker room. They need a win at all costs at this point just to calm down and say, it's going to be okay. We're still in the playoff race. We're winning games again. But I think the Royals, Twins, and Dodgers is going to be so much fun to watch when maybe a couple weeks ago we were just figuring it was the Orioles, Royals, and Twins are in and nobody else can chase them down. And now look at the standings. We got a race over there.
The Yanks with the win yesterday against Seattle, 2-1 in extras, a base running gaffe for Julio Rodriguez. He was scared of a bat that went flying out of the hands of Randy Arozarena and then was picked off at third. It would have been the game tying run in the bottom of the 10th. So Seattle, 5 games behind Houston, now 3 games out of the American League wildcard chase. Quickly on the O's, 26-30 since the All-Star break, 6-9 now in the month of September. It has been a struggle. They trail the Yankees by 5 games in the American League East, but still 4 games in front of Minnesota, 2.5 ahead of Kansas City for that top spot. I have bet the Detroit Tigers to make the American League postseason at plus 140. Number now at plus 126 for the Tigers to claim the number 6 seed in the American League playoffs, which would be that third and final wild card spot, plus 250. The Twins still minus 310 to get to the postseason. We'll talk about that fourth and final game of their midweek set in Cleveland today and if the Twins can stop the bleeding. Now, let's get you set with the early look at Thursday night football. We will begin hour two with a deep dive into all of the numbers you know, but let's set the stage. 6.5-point spread on this short week in favor of the Jets at home in MetLife with a low total of 40 at 38 and a hook. What are the numbers telling you, DRS, just on first glance for the start of week three?
The under 38.5 tells me a lot in this game, because if I'm looking at both the Patriots and the Jets, I'm not seeing a lot of explosive plays so far in those first games from either one of these teams. And maybe the MO, they both have some pretty good ground attacks, and that should bleed the clock a bit. It's a Thursday night game. It's two opponents that know each other well. So I think that's the way it plays out. But here's the interesting part. Last week, the Seattle Seahawks were able to throw the football with ease, apparently, against the Patriots, where he had a good game thrown over for plus 300 yards. So does Aaron Rodgers finally step up in this game? Didn't pass it all that well in game number one, didn't need to pass it all that well in game number two. Does he in game number three? But also, it's not as if the Jets are going up against another team to say, hey, the Patriots can probably put up 24 plus points in this game. We're not anticipating that. The Patriots are probably in the teens, and that's the way they want to play games to win it. The one thing I do like about the Patriots that I didn't anticipate is I like the way Gerard Mayo is coaching his team. He understands you can't get into a shootout, and if it's just about winning games and building that foundation in the locker room and a winning mentality, he's doing exactly that. So I expect a competitive game, but if I am looking early in the morning today, it's probably still towards the under 38.5. I just don't see enough explosive plays to be in the tilt tonight.
It feels like a fitting total for this game, short week for New York. The Jets have had a difficult start to the season, travel logistics-wise, maybe not their last two opponents, including tonight against New England. They started the year on a Monday night out in Northern California, flew home, shorter week, had to travel to Nashville on Sunday. Home debut in MetLife for Aaron Rodgers this year and the New York Jets, but on a short week against the divisional foe. And the Patriots have been more competitive, I think, than we expected entering 2024. All of that for Thursday Night Football when Hour 2 starts next.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.